Christmas captivates my sentimental soul like no other season of the year. As far back as my memory stretches, it has been this way. But not until I was nearly grown did I experience my very first Christmas. I grew up in the warm, bright climate of Southern California, but Christmas was the one time of year I longed for a change of seasons. A green Yuletide never seemed quite right to me. Despite the sun-kissed California Decembers, my mind's eyes envisioned smooth white blankets of snow tucked gently around the bed of earth. On Christmas Eve, I was certain I could hear the tinkling chimes of sleigh bells in the distance, even though I knew full well that the Harbor Freeway provided the only real traffic sounds for miles. Back in the old days, we sang Christmas carols at assemblies in school, and so the words of these beloved songs were part of my vocabulary long before I ever attended church. My favorite, "O Come All Ye Faithful," spoke to a longing I had for a God I knew little about. But somehow I knew it was the birth of the Christ child we celebrated at Christmas, whether or not we mentioned that baby by name. For me, Christmas meant family time, the five of us united by our isolation from other relatives. We bought and wrapped presents for one another, hung our stockings, and trimmed the tree that my aunt in Montana chopped down and mailed to us each year. The joy of being together was intensified after my older sister left for college. Christmas, at least, we all were home. This changed in the spring semester of my first year of college. My father's company sent him to the Middle Eastern country of Iran on temporary assignment. 6 months later, the rest of the family joined him there. I went reluctantly and bid farewell to everything and everyone familiar to me. After a long and tiring journey, our plane touched down in the capital city of Tehran. I might as well have landed on another planet. In 1973, the Shah was still in power, though his kingdom had already begun to crack. Women had more freedom than in prior years, but nothing like what I was used to in Los Angeles. Relationships between men and women were defined very differently from the way they were in the United States. A style of dress acceptable in Southern California was frowned upon, and I found myself scorned by total strangers. The language, the food, the architecture could not have been more foreign to me. I felt totally lost. 2 months after we arrived in Iran, my sister returned to the United States, and I moved my belongings to the southern city of Shiraz to continue my college education at a university there. My parents and brother stayed north. Like a glass dish that had been hurled to the floor, my stable family shattered, broken shards skittering across the globe in all directions. So it was that I found myself, in December of my 19th year, preparing to celebrate my very first Christmas away from home in a land where Christmas did not come. I shared an apartment with Mary Sue, a medical student from New York. The setting was primitive to a middle-class California girl. We had no telephone, television, stereo, radio, or newspaper, and it was long before the days of email and internet access. A solo gas burner served as our only kitchen appliance. Periodic visits from a leathery brown gnome of a man and his sway-backed horse pulling a rusted tank of gas allowed us to cook and heat the apartment yet another week. The windowsill in the kitchen made a functional, if narrow, refrigerator when the air was cold enough to chill a few eggs and a fresh short glass bottle of milk. With no washing machine, clothes dryer, or laundromat, we scrubbed our clothes by hand, hunched over the bathtub, and hung them out on a rickety rack on the porch to dry, where the sun warmed them through, stiff but sweet smelling. But the cockroaches were an invention of my worst nightmares. 3 inches long and more, they flew when frightened, and my petrified shrieks sent them sailing through the air from one end of our apartment to the other. The spiders I grew up with in California suddenly didn't seem so unmanageable. Everything ran on Muslim time, as it should. The calendars, the holidays, the work week. People celebrated their Sabbath on Friday, with shops and businesses all closing down, the streets deserted. But Sunday passed as just another ordinary day. I hadn't grown up in church and had only begun attending in high school a few short years before. To be thrust into a country where Christians were in the minority made me realize how much my faith meant to me. It would have been easy to dismiss it for a year, to pick up again when I returned to the United States, but I was determined not to do this. I needed the company of others who believed as I did. Mary Sue was a Roman Catholic, and she discovered a priest who made monthly visits to a small church there in Shiraz, and we took advantage of these opportunities, the two of us, to worship together with the priest. He arrived each month in a flurry, always looking rushed. He'd read the scripture lesson, say a prayer and a final blessing, and then scurry off to his next assignment. Although I was a Presbyterian, denominational differences were unimportant, and I was grateful for his ministry. The kindly priest offered me spiritual nourishment, and hungrily I devoured his words and prayers. I found through friends a tiny Christian church on the edge of the city, which catered mostly to folks in the armed services and their families. Whenever possible, Mary Sue and I joined the people for worship and social events, but circumstances and lack of transportation made these gatherings infrequent. Into this setting, we tried to make Christmas come to us. For we knew that without our efforts, Christmas simply would not happen. Enveloped by this strange and forbidding land, Mary Sue and I did our best to deck our halls and make room in our humble inn for the Christ child. Here in America, Christmas comes whether we're ready or not. Ornament displays multiply on shop shelves when the August sun is still ablaze. Christmas parades follow on the heels of Thanksgiving, and piles of evergreens appear on street corners earlier every year. In Shiraz, Christmas ornaments were unheard of. Our ears were not saturated with the repetition of carols playing over the loudspeakers in the malls, for there weren't Christmas carols and there weren't malls. And there wasn't a Christmas tree in sight. We finally secured 3 scraggly potted trees, not even evergreens, and tied them together with string and set them in a bucket in the corner of our barren living room. The spindly branches we adorned with colorful handicrafts purchased at the local underground shopping bazaar. Christmas vacation does not exist in an Islamic country. My sister remained in California, and my father had to work. But my mother and brother flew south to Shiraz, arriving a few days before Christmas to much rejoicing. We keenly felt the absence of my sister and father, yet were grateful that at least 3 of us could be together. On Christmas Eve, we fixed a simple meal and dressed in preparation for the one Christmas Eve service offered in the entire city. As twilight began to close around us, a knock rang sharp and clear. I hurried downstairs, expecting a friend who planned to join us for church. I opened the door and burst into tears. There stood my father. He'd managed to get one day off work to catch a plane to Shiraz and surprise us all. As I hugged him there on the doorstep, silent flakes of snow freckled the darkening sky with white. I felt like the luckiest daughter in the world. Later, we gathered in church, our voices united in singing the familiar hymns heralding the birth of the holy infant born in a foreign city among strangers far from home. We returned to our apartment and exchanged the few packages that lay beneath our modest tree, but they were unnecessary. We had already received the greatest of gifts. Christmas came to me that year in a way never before or since. It came without the usual holiday trappings. It came despite my meager and eager efforts to make it happen. It came as that first Christmas came, in a strange and faraway land where shepherds still watch their flocks by night, and the silence of a midnight sky is filled with the angels' alleluias. It came as that first Christmas came, not bringing Christmas presents, but Christ's holy presence. It came as that first Christmas came, simple and unexpected, surprising the world with a miracle beyond our greatest hope. Christmas comes not because of shopping malls and holiday toy sales. Christmas comes not because of brightly wrapped packages or tinsel-trimmed trees. Christmas comes not because of twinkling lights and choruses of carols. Christmas comes because Christ comes. Christ comes to us in our homes and in faraway lands. Christ comes to us in our comforts and in our confusion. Christ comes to us in our loving and in our loneliness. Christ comes to us when we need a Savior the most, and when we least expect Him, He is standing at the door, waiting to be welcomed into our hearts and our lives. Christ comes to us as an unexpected visitor, as a familiar face in a land of strangers, as a newborn baby wrapped in bands of cloth, sleeping in the straw. So joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare Christ room. You pray with me? O Lord, may our ears hear beyond the carols to the sounds of angel wings rustling in the sky. May our eyes see beyond the darkness to the light of one shining star. May our hearts be filled with Christ's presence, the greatest Christmas present of all. In the name of the Child of Bethlehem, we pray, and let all God's people say, Amen.